Well, if you will turn with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 11. And then put your finger there, because we're going to come back right quick. But we're going to start over in Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. Obviously, Pastor Gary's been going through the book of Genesis, and so we've already been through this particular chapter. But in going through Hebrews, some of you may know on every other Wednesday we're in a Hebrews study. And going through Hebrews, this was what we covered this last Wednesday, and the Lord just won't let me go on this. He just kind of, you know, every once in a while when you're in Scripture, you're reading, and he just goes, "See that?" And so I saw it, and so now I'm going to share with you what I saw. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Of note, first of all, is in those four verses, it says he walked with God twice. So clearly he's wanting us to know that he's walking with God, right? When Scripture talks about walking with God, actually, if you think about when you're walking with anybody, it's denoting a sense of intimacy. There's a closeness there. There has to be shared value also, because you're not going to spend time walking with somebody over and over and over if you've got nothing to talk about, right? So there's a shared value there. There's also a level of commitment. You think about walking with somebody for 300 years. That's a commitment. Now, if you'll go back over to Hebrews chapter 11, and in verse 5, it says, "By faith Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. He was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God." Verse 6, "And without faith it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." So think about it. A 300-year walk with God that was pleasing to God. Now, you don't just happen to wake up one morning, roll out of bed, and inadvertently stumble into a walk that's pleasing to God, right? It's something that it requires an intentionality. It requires a passion. It requires making conscious decisions on a daily basis. What am I going to do here? What is it that I'm going to value? Am I going to value temporal things? Am I going to value eternal things? You know, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 says godliness actually is a means of great gain if it's accompanied with contentment, right? Now, in that context, in fairness, he's talking about people who are going out spreading the gospel, their version of the gospel, in an attempt to get wealthy. But the point in the verse that I'm drawing from is the statement that godliness is great gain. If you are not looking for other things out of the godly walk, if you're looking to please God, then and you're content with what he gives you, there's great gain there. But the problem we stumble into, and you don't need to go there, but in Matthew chapter 8, we can look at the walk of God, walk with God, and we go, well, I understand, however, I need a little security before I start this walk, because there doesn't look like a whole lot of there's not a retirement plan there, it doesn't look like. There's not medical insurance. So I need a little bit more stability before I decide that I'm going to go all in. And in chapter 8 of Matthew, starting in verse 21, It says, another of the disciples said to him, Lord, permit me to go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, follow me, allow the dead to bury their own dead. What's the point? The disciples going, let me go figure out how this is going to work. This is a big decision. I mean, following God versus following me. I mean, that's tough. I need the security of my inheritance. Let me go wait for my dad, and once he's gone, I'll have the inheritance. Then, just in case you don't provide for me the way that I think you might, I've got a backup plan. Jesus says to him, you know, let those who are disinterested, let those who are detached, let them that are spiritually dead, let them bury their own. Don't put yourself back in the environment of people who are going to lead you away from the truth and what I'm telling you. Stick with us. God will provide. Do you believe that? And that's really the point in verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. We're talking a little bit about this morning. You know, the important thing to remember in faith is that if you have tremendous faith, you are in a very a confident position. However, you didn't do anything to deserve that faith. It's a gift from God. And so if you look at this, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So how do we get the faith? We believe, number one, in him and his promises, and then we ask him for it. We acknowledge what we already know is, Lord, I can't make me a faithful person. You have to do this, and I'm asking you to do this. I'm asking you to change me, because again, I can't change me. And if you go to him earnestly, he begins to work. And he tells us he's faithful to complete the work that he started, right? And so if you go to him faithfully and you ask him this question, then he will, or you ask him to do this, he will do it. So the question that comes to me when I look at Enoch and I think of Enoch, I think Enoch believed God. I mean, think of the time he's in. He's roughly 900 years before the flood. So we can't say he was in good times. I mean, they were going out downhill rapidly. So he, think of him going, wow, I wonder how my kids are going to grow up in the next generation. Wonder how my grandkids, my great-grandkids are going to grow up. So he's facing all the things we're facing today. But he believed, and he walked in a manner that was pleasing to the Lord. Do I believe in God? Abraham did, right? We know that. Noah did. Enoch did. We know others who did. But the question is, do you believe he is who he says he is? That's when it says here, do you believe he is? Do you believe he is who he says he is as revealed in Scripture? He's told us everything we need to know in Scripture. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us, you know, in the last days he's spoken to us in Jesus Christ. There's no more revelation about who Jesus is than has already been made. No more is needed. Okay, so we know, so do I believe that he is who he says he is? Does my life reflect it? In other words, do I look like all of my neighbors or am I distinct? I always like to ask the question, if I were to be accused in a court of law of being a Christian, would the accuser be able to find enough evidence to have me convicted? In other words, am I living in such a way that they could go, you do this, you do that, you do that. This is unique, okay? Do you believe he is a rewarder? In other words, do you believe that his promises in Scripture are true? Do you believe that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord will be saved? Do you believe that? Because if you do, you're going to make decisions based on who God is. You're not going to be strategizing about what do I need to do next. If there's more of an attitude of, Lord, just tell me what to do, and I will do it. We were talking about this a little bit yesterday, that it's a walk of one step at a time. Lord, you tell me today what to do, I'll do it, okay? I don't want to know what's going to happen three or four steps down the road. I just want to know today. And you know what you do? You find tremendous comfort and confidence in doing that, because when the Lord tells you to do something and you do it, there's a tremendous sense of satisfaction. There's a calm that comes over you and you're like, that felt good. I didn't even know I needed to do it, but it felt good. But he gives you that sense of satisfaction and you go, okay, that's what it feels like. Now you don't care what everybody else says. Because there are going to be people around you going, you're nuts. You know, have you lost your mind? Well, maybe, you know, but I've lost it because I believe in the Lord. And so I'm not, my mind isn't operating the way the world's mind works, but it's operating according to the Lord. Because God is a God of order. He's not going to tell you step three until he's told you step one. And he's not going to tell you step three unless you've done step one. Make sense? So we just live right there. He reveals what he's going to reveal in his time. His time is always perfect. And if we will just live there and trust him, we'll have a life of peace and contentment. We'll have a life of fulfillment. We'll have a life that others can look at it and go, I'm not quite sure what you've got, but I want it. And we don't have to beat people over the head with anything. It's just living the life and them going, you know what? I'm not that much at peace. Why are you at peace? Because I'm only trying to please one person, and that's the Lord. And when he's pleased, he lets me know. Father, we come before you, Lord, and we do thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the way that you have made yourself very clear. You sent your son to die for us, and in coming, he walked the walk that you would have us to walk. And Lord, we recognize we can never walk it as perfectly as he did, but we desire to. And so, Lord, may we just pursue that walk. May we walk in a manner that's worthy of the calling that you've called us to. You've called us as sons and daughters, and Lord, it's our desire to walk as sons and daughters. We thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.